Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Missing by Margaret Daly. Kidnapping. Evil. Redemption. When two young girls go missing, Dr. Emma Reichs, a child psychologist who was working with the two teens, turns to Brody Taylor, an ex-Green Beret who founded the PALS Center, a safe haven for kids, to help her find the girls. Brody, along with his retired military canine, Charlie, is determined to find the people behind the kidnapping of young people in his community. In the midst of the search for Piper and Maria, more children are taken. Brody and Emma realize they're fighting against a ticking bomb to find the teens before they disappear for good. Their partnership brings them closer and awakens feelings for each other. But can they stay alive long enough to end the nightmare for the kids and still have a future together?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm talking with Margaret Daly. She's a USA Today bestselling author of more than 110 books. She's sold 5 million copies worldwide. She is a mother, a wife, a grandmother, and I'm just delighted that I'm going to get to talk to her today. So welcome to my program.
Hi.
You know, Margaret, you've written a lot of books. What has been one of your favorite topics to write about?
Current events. Now, I like to take what's happening around me or in our country or, you know, and use those as ways to make people aware of them, but also have. In the end, my books are always up. You know, the criminals do get caught, you know. So I want to, you know, leave that there are possibilities of being able to handle these issues.
Right. Yeah, and I think that, and I love that, because we can use books not as bully pulpits. We don't want to beat anyone over the head with it. Although some authors do, but I know you're not one of those. We want to put it in a way that's engaging and yet can make people think. I mean, if that's part of the goal, is to leave them with something they didn't either know or just a more appreciation or just giving them that hope. I love that we're able to, especially with inspirational romantic suspense, that we're able to kind of tackle all those issues. Now, in your latest book, which after our conversation here on the podcast, our listeners are going to hear an excerpt from, is called Missing. And I'd love for you, and we were talking before we started recording about the topic on that. So talk a little bit more. It's about human trafficking, and that doesn't seem like a very light topic, but an important one.
I'm not shy on doing some tough topics. I've done things like human trafficking, and in this particular book, it's really, really child trafficking. Mm-hmm. Because these are young kids that are being taken. I think the story, it's 10, 11, 12, 13, even boys. It's not always girls.
Right.
It can be both. But I've also tackled stuff about drugs and the misuse of drugs and the drug parties that kids in high school used to have and throw all these drugs into a big bowl and you just pick out a drug and take it, and you don't even know what you're doing. I mean, that came from a person. That particular concept of that story came from a person I knew who is also a fellow writer, but he works as he works in government in Oklahoma, and he's law enforcement. And he said that's a huge issue. Well, at the time I wrote it, I was not as aware of this as. Nowadays, it was called pilled parties, and I was never aware of it, and it just shocked me, because I was still teaching high school students, and I was going, whoa, this is something that needs to be addressed, and people need to be aware of the abuse of prescription drugs. Mm. I'm not talking marijuana and stuff, or any of the drugs, you know, that you buy illegally. I'm talking about prescription drugs, and that really shocked me, the misuse of prescription drugs and stuff like this, and that, and so many, and I, it was just something that was compelling to me, because again, I taught those, that age of kids, that was it happening to, and I just wanted them to be aware, and the parents to be aware of this.
Yeah,
those kinds of things. And in missing, it was the thing about child trafficking, because it's becoming more and more of an issue in the United States of kids just disappearing, and they never find them. And I just think of the emotional devastation to a family that never has an answer to what happens, you know, to their child, you know, the child that did go miss. I don't shy away from those tough subjects, because although I do think I have, because I do come from a Christian look at it, I have some, I try to get some uplifting messages in there too. And so it, they're just, it, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. And that's kind of what I try to use sometimes.
We do. And I think it is one of the things that I think fiction allows us to do, is to take these tough topics and put a fictional face to it. And it does make it seem a little more real to us. I remember that there's been articles and studies recently that if you want to help kids develop empathy, they should read fiction books about kids who have empathy.
That really makes a big difference. You're right.
Yeah, and I think about that with our writing, too. If you want to help people understand human trafficking or whatever other subject, you know, what other sin there is in the world, it can come many faces.
Another topic I used to, I wrote about was bullying. But it wasn't, it had a high school level, I mean, teenagers doing it level, but it also had bullying in the workforce. And, you know, I mean, bullying isn't just in high school. It's
right.
All through society. And I showed the levels of it in this story. And some of the solutions that you can do to help that not be a problem are, and to speak, you know, it was just, you know, I tried to educate, give a person, you know, what is happening, and hopefully both, well, not both sides, because I don't agree with bullying, but you see why somebody might end up bullying, but you also see, of course, the side of the victim a lot, you know. It's just, you have to, I like the fact that I can put all of that in a story and hopefully come out with somebody saying, yay, I need to look at this, you know. Like I said, that prescription drug, I was so clueless, because I had all my leftover prescription drugs sitting in my drawer. I never thought that, you know, that could be an issue down the line with people.
It's funny you say that, because of those prescription, my husband and I were certified as foster parents last year, and one of the things we had to do was we have to lock up all our over-the-counter, all the drugs. And so I was going through everything. I was just surprised at, you know, I had stuff tucked here or there, and I mean, it just was all over my house.
And you never think about, I need to keep this away. But, you know, like I had an operation, and I had heavy-duty painkillers there for a while. Well, it was a knee replacement, so it was a huge operation.
Yes.
But I thought to myself, I didn't take the whole thing, because I'm this type of person that just wants to immediately get off of them as soon as I can.
Right.
Because I hate the effects they do. But on the street, that could have been worth a lot of money to people, you know. And I'd never even thought about that stuff until I had this friend in law enforcement tell me about what's really going on. And I'm going, whoa, this is something that really, I think people aren't always necessarily aware of. Hopefully now they are, because this was back in, I think it came out in 2010 or 11, that particular book. So it was a while back, but it was, anyway, and So that was the kind of thing that I meant. You know, you could I just want people to realize there are things going on that sometimes we just don't realize.
And it's a great. I mean, you know, fiction gives us that opportunity to do a little education while it's entertaining. You know, because if we lose the entertaining part, no one is going to want to read our books.
No, I love the back and forth because it's a romantic one.
Mm,
there's
always
a hero and a heroine.
Right.
So I always address that one too. But in the action, I love reading romantic suspense, and I love writing it because I love the action, the cliffhangers. I have to turn the page because.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this is the chapter, I've got to go on because I've got to find out what happened at the, you know, I love that. I just got through reading one of my favorite authors, and he is a master at leaving you hanging.
Yes. I know. That is so good, and it's so hard sometimes to write that, though. I mean, it can be challenging because we've all, in our rough draft, I don't know about your rough draft, Margaret, but mine, sometimes I'm like, oh, my goodness, that is, nobody's going to want to turn the page. I've just put them to sleep. You know, I need to chop out some stuff and tighten, you know, and because we want that. We want our readers to, you know, to read it and go, oh, I can't go to sleep, you know.
Yes. And keep turning the page.
Yes.
I wish I could read faster sometimes, but because I do read almost every word. That's always how I've read, which makes it very slow. And I get very impatient at times but for myself on reading, you know, a story. But, there are a couple of writers that I follow and read, and it's really more thriller.
Mm-hmm.
I love the way they pace a book.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just ongoing. You have your lulls, but boy. In between those lulls.
But that's one of the things I think can be difficult to learn. There's several books that will never see the light of day. That's kind of what I call my practice.
Books. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we all have those. If we're all honest with ourselves, we all have those. I'm not going to dust that one off. That one just needs to...
There's a couple that I'll never show anyone.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, please do not judge me by that. In fact, I should probably delete them.
I may have thrown them away by now.
I should probably go back and delete a bunch of them off my computer just because, you know...
I don't want anybody to find out.
No, I don't either, and think this is what she did to write. But it is important, you know, when we think about that pacing, especially when we have, you know, topics like human trafficking and, you know, people who are running for their lives. You know, you have to have that, you know, that cliffhanger pace to it, and keep them turning the pages. So how do you do that? I mean, you've written a lot of books, so you must have this down now.
How do I do it? Some of it really just comes to me. It's hard to explain.
Sure.
I don't even know sometimes. Like I said, I read certain authors, and I've learned their rhythm. I've looked at their rhythm and studied it, and I think that just becomes ingrained in me then. I try to leave most endings of chapters and even endings in scenes somewhat either emotional cliffhanger between the heroine and the hero or something in the story. A writer's group I was on said... when you're writing romantic suspense, what do you do to make your chapters, at the end of your chapters, good? And I offhand said, oh, just either kill someone or you know, something along that line.
Right.
Drop a bomb.
Yes.
And killing somebody sometimes can be one of those. It's not that you have every chapter where you have somebody dead, but...
You'd run out of characters. No one loves standing at the end if you killed everyone.
Yeah, but that's the kind of urgency sometimes you need. Not necessarily a death. It can be finding a clue or somebody breaking into a house and you're in there alone by yourself and you're trying to find a way to protect yourself. You know, you can think of so many situations that just, you know, have your blood pumping.
Right, right. And it, and you're, and I like that you mentioned that, you know, either it's something, you know, externally that's providing the hook to change, to go to the next chapter, or it can be something emotionally.
Yeah, it can be both, and it should be. You should never have it just totally always that external program. I mean, problem in your story, it also needs to be your emotional. I've even done it to where somebody may or may not kiss the heroine for the first time, and you don't know. And then you have to turn to the next chapter to find out if anything does happen.
Right. Yeah, that romantic tension is that, you know, secondary thread that has to go through our romantic suspense.
Yeah. So that's the reason why it doesn't necessarily have to be a physical thing where you've got a dead body, you just discovered a dead body or something like that. It can be something very emotional, and that can be also used, particularly even at an end of a chapter.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's always good to keep them turning the page on there. So now Missing is your latest book, is that correct?
Yes, it is the one I finished. It came out in middle of March.
Okay.
And it was that was one of the hardest books for me to write for some reason. Like I said, I have granddaughters the age of those children that were I was writing about. And it revolved around a program that they had in the community for people who needed a place to come. You know, that after class and school, they needed a place to come that was safe and all. And then a couple of their kids disappeared. Not from the place they were, but before, you know, it happened at their apartment complex, and that started the whole thing. Although that wasn't the only place the kids disappeared from.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to go get this and read it now, Margaret. I might be up all night.
No, but I mean, you know, and the heroine was a psychiatrist a clinical psychologist who worked with kids, and she also helped out in the evening with the girls and all, and then the hero was the one that ran the shelter. It wasn't called a shelter, but it was really a place for them to come and play basketball, exchange things, learn to, you know, just all different kinds of things rather than being on the street. So, anyway, that's where it starts, and some of the people that disappeared were from there, and that's what got it all started.
Well, I hope that my listeners are eager to hear an excerpt from Missing, and we are going to have to end our interview time. So, Margaret, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Margaret Daly. She's a USA Today best-selling author of more than 110 books, and one of her most recent is Missing, about human and child trafficking. And stay tuned for an excerpt from that now.
Now an excerpt from Missing by Margaret Daly. Dr. Emma Reichs kicked off her high heels and plopped her purse and briefcase on her kitchen counter. Her tight muscles screamed the exhaustion she was trying to ignore. She padded toward her bedroom to change into comfortable clothes after a long day counseling young children and teens. She would be leaving soon to go to the PALS Center where she volunteered. Piper Nelson's situation in her group sessions at the PALS Center had gnawed at Emma's peace of mind the whole day. Actually, since the Tuesday meeting. Piper's rapport with her mother reminded Emma of her own relationship with her mom as a teenager. Their family life fell apart when Emma's dad died. She would talk with Piper tonight. Emma needed to somehow help Piper and Ada, Piper's mother. The similarity between Emma and Piper was strong. Emma loved working with young patients who needed her and also volunteering at the PALS organization to help economically and emotionally disadvantaged children from the ages of 6 through 18. But her stressful day was catching up with her. Releasing a long sigh, she sank onto her bed, too tired to change into the comfortable outfit she'd laid out that morning. Instead, she'd use the few minutes to rest and possibly come up with a strategy to help Piper. She closed her eyes and collapsed back onto her mattress, relishing the quiet. A ringing sound jerked her from a light sleep. Groggy, she fumbled for her phone in the pocket of her jacket, glanced at the screen, and quickly answered the call from Brody Taylor, the founder of PALS. She'd been resting 25 minutes. I know I'm running late. I'll be there soon. She should never have shut her eyes.
I'll let the girls know you're running a little late.
Thanks. I was delayed with my last patient. Not to mention, she'd fallen asleep.
I was just making sure. The girls were already asking where you were. You're usually early.
Is everyone there?
Yes, except Piper. She hasn't shown up yet.
Where was Piper? Tell them I'll be there in 15 minutes. Bye. Good thing she didn't live too far away from the PALS Center. She needed to find out why Piper wasn't there. As though a burst of energy shot through her body, Emma stood, grabbed the casual clothes, and put them on. While she drove toward the rec center housed in Samarin City High School's old gym, she hoped that Piper would be there by the time she arrived. Emma prayed nothing was wrong with the teen, and yet she couldn't shake the feeling something had happened. Piper was new to PALS, and Emma had sensed right away how much the kid needed the group. Her only parent was an alcoholic mother who barely managed to hold on to her job, let alone be there for Piper. In the past 2 months, the 14-year-old hadn't missed the group session that met twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday. Emma hoped Piper wasn't sick or decided not to attend the support group anymore, especially after what Piper had told her on Tuesday. The teen needed her help. If she didn't attend today's session, Emma would swing by Piper's home to see if she was all right. During Tuesday's session, Piper had seemed upset, but, as usual, she'd remained quiet. When the session ended, Piper sought out Emma to confide in her. Piper had found her mother asleep Tuesday morning when she should have been at her job. The teen had tried to wake up her mom. After splashing water on her mother's face and shaking her, Piper had finally awakened Ada 5 minutes later. Her mom insisted she had trouble getting to sleep, so she'd taken a sleeping pill her doctor had recently prescribed for her. But Piper told Emma her mom also reeked of alcohol. The teen knew pills and liquor could be a lethal combination and was worried. Emma's grip tightened around the steering wheel. After the teen had told her what happened with her mom, Emma had wanted to move Piper to a more private place on Tuesday so she could help the teenager. But before she could tell Piper, the girl whirled around, mumbled, "Forget it," and hurried from the building. Was that the reason she hadn't come back to PALS? Emma wasn't going to give up on the child. Her pain was palpable and struck a deep chord in Emma, whose dad had been an alcoholic. As a child, like Piper, Emma had watched his downfall until he killed himself with liquor and pills. Emma had never wanted others to go through what she had with her father. Memories of the day her dad died flooded her mind. She shut them down. If she let them take over her thoughts, she wouldn't be able to function as she should tonight. She parked in front of the center, rushed into the building, and nearly collided with Brody, a large, muscular man with blue eyes that could mesmerize a person with their intensity. She looked away while he stepped to the side before she did.
"Slow down," he said with a smile, a dimple appearing in his cheek. "All the girls are waiting patiently, except Piper. She hasn't shown up."
Emma frowned. "I'd hoped she'd be running late like me. I wanted to talk to her after the session."
"Is something wrong?"
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com. www.theroomandthedrug.com.